Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Linux is a free and open source operating system that can be put on almost any computer. There are many different versions of Linux, but until now, only two of these have been accessible to the visually impaired out of the box. These are Vinix and Sonar GNU, both of which we've talked about in previous episodes of Eyes on Success.
Today, we'll speak with four key contributors to these projects about accessible versions of Linux and about their plans to merge these two versions and what to expect in the future. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Rob White, who is the project lead.
Vinix offers a distribution where all the hard work has already been done for the user. It's a stepping stone for people into the world of Linux. And quite often people come along, use Vinix, a couple of years later move on to something else. And we've been able to support users through that process, and then they've gone off and found something they're more comfortable with the confidence to be able to do that, because we know what software we want to put on our images. We know what works well together. We pick the best software suites that we can. And that's something that Vinix will continue to do.
Yeah, it's all about that out-of-box experience, the first-time boot up. What do you do? How do you get things going?
And that was Luke joining in.
And, you know, it is hard to change to a new operating system or a new program in general, but Vinix is not only an accessible version of Linux that can be used by the visually impaired, but they also put together a nice community and a network of people who can help you get started with Vinix. There are lots of tutorials they put together and lots of programs that they made available with the Vinix operating system that are easy to use by the visually impaired, but useful in your everyday tasks.
And in addition, they've put together the facility for the users to help each other. So there's a discussion group where people can ask each other for help. And that's been very useful to many users as well.
And we'll be hearing more about that in just a moment.
Let's start by meeting Rob, Luke, Kyle, and Kendall and learning what their roles are in the Vinix and Sonar GNU projects, as well as what they do outside of this effort.
Hi, I'm Rob White. I live in Tasmania, Australia. I'm a father of three. My work is in education and assistive technology training, and I'm a part of the Vinix project, currently the project lead, which I've been in this role for about 5 or 6 years. And I'm very happy to be celebrating our merger, or Sonar's merger, with the Vinix project that we're here to talk about today.
Hi, I'm Luke. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I am the development lead of the Vinix project. I'm also looking forward to the Sonar project and the Vinix project merging. I work on the Ubuntu Linux distribution. I have done so for over 10 years now.
Hi, my name is Kyle. I am also now the head of the PR and social media teams for the Vinix project, as well as on the hardware and development team, and am also on the testing and documentation team as well. I do business for myself, and the business that I do is Linux installations and technical support. My business motto is Linux is for everyone.
My name is Kendall Clark. I am on the testing, the documentation, the package development teams, and PR and social media. I'm not the head, I'm just part of it. I don't work. I get money from the government. I'm on SSI, so I have a lot of free time, which is why I'm doing so much in Linux.
Many of our listeners have visual impairments, and you guys are all working on an accessible version of an operating system. I assume all four of you are blind.
Kyle here. Yes, that is correct. I'm visually impaired. Mostly blind, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Luke here. I am actually vision impaired. I do have a fair amount of vision. So I can, where required, use magnification or large print as well. But I am also a Braille reader.
Yeah, Kendall here. I have some vision. I'm not exactly sure how much. I do know I'm colorblind. I have enough vision to play some video games, but there are some I can't play.
And Rob?
I'm legally blind, and I can see shapes and things, but I don't really find it necessary to wear glasses anymore because it doesn't really help.
And one really neat thing about this project is that it's truly international. We just heard from two people who are in Australia, widely separated geographically, and a couple of people from the United States who are separated by a large distance. And these are just some of the people around the world who are contributing to these accessible versions of Linux. The other thing is, they all had some sort of visual impairment. That sort of guarantees that this will work for the visually impaired and be totally accessible.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is the two versions of Linux that are accessible right out of the box and can even be installed without sighted assistance.
So we're really excited to have all four of you here today to talk about Vinux and Sonar and some of the new thrust that you guys are putting together. But before we get into that, can one of you give a quick overview of what Linux is for people who may not know what that is?
Yeah, Kyle here. Linux is an operating system that replaces what's already on your computer. There are a few manufacturers that actually put it on the computers. And so basically, it's a replacement for things like Windows or Mac OS or whatever that allows you to do things with your computer, run applications, email, internet, play games, various things that you can do. The main difference is that Linux, for the most part, is free software, open source. There are philosophical differences between free software and open source, but I choose not to focus on that because it all means that you are free to modify, study, and use it. You can even sell it if you want. It's not illegal to do so. And the license not only, in most cases, says that you can do that, it says nobody can stop you.
And if people do put the Linux operating system on their computers, they should know that there is also a wide variety of open source and free tools, including, you know, word processors, spreadsheets, and a whole lot of other utilities that are also freely available, right?
That's sort of one of the good things about Linux, is you just pop in a flash drive and it comes with like a web browser, an email client, office programs, that sort of thing.
Are there any limitations on what hardware Linux can run on?
Kyle here. The Linux operating system can run on probably more hardware than any other because it can run on your traditional desktop and laptop computers, but it can run and is in fact running on things like Chromebooks. It also can run on something with a very, very minimal amounts of RAM like the Raspberry Pi, which is an ARM-based computer. It's what they call a single board computer. And although it runs rather slowly on something that size, with that amount of space and memory on it, it can run a full desktop environment on such small hardware.
Now, I guess one thing that our listeners should know is that there are many flavors of Linux, many customizations of how people package it together. And in particular, you people have worked with both Vinix, which is a flavor of Linux that's made accessible to the visually impaired, and also GNU Sonar, which is another version of Linux that was made accessible to the visually impaired as well as accessible to people with other disabilities. And I guess each of those come with their own screen reader, magnifiers.
Kyle here. Yes, that is correct.
Well, as I understand, what's special about Vinix and GNU Sonar is that they're prepackaged so that they're accessible right out of the box, so you don't even need sighted assistance to install them. Is that correct?
Luke here. That is very much correct. These distributions, whether it be GNU Sonar or Vinix, take extra steps to make sure the out-of-box experience is as comfortable as is possible, so that as soon as you boot it up, assuming everything's working, you should hear the screen reader speak to you, you should hear a sound event to let you know that things are up and running. And then from there on, you can get your system set up.
Kendall here. I was just going to say that one of our goals is eventually, see right now, Linux is to the point where special distros like Vinix and Sonar are still needed because not all Linux distributions package, like not all of them come with the screen reader or the magnifier built into the image that you get. And if they don't, sometimes they don't even have them in the repository, so you can't even install them. So right now, they're still needed, but eventually we hope to get it to the point where no matter what distro you pick, within a reasonable amount, I don't think we can get them all, but most of them would be accessible out of the box. So if you were blind, you'd hit a keystroke and Orca would come up. You're visually impaired, you hit a keystroke and it would magnify. We're not there yet. That's where we're headed.
So eventually people may not need accessible versions of Linux like Vinix and Sonar. It would just be any Linux system or almost any Linux system would be accessible. Is that what you're saying?
Kyle here. Yes, right. That is indeed the goal.
Luke here, and I should add too that the thing about eventually not requiring to have a specialized Linux distribution essentially comes down to working with so-called, you know, mainstream Linux distributions to do as much as possible to improve the out-of-box experience such that a user with assistive technology requirements can access said assistive technologies with a minimum of extra knowledge slash effort. You know, basically when they boot the distribution, they know that once it's booted, they can just do something and they'll get what they need.
So essentially, this was a bridge. The original Linux systems weren't accessible, and Vinix was around for a while until we could make accessibility improvements in the main Linux operating distributions that would make these special Linux systems not needed anymore.
That is correct.
Until recently, the four of you were working on two separate versions of Linux, but recently you merged the two. Can you talk about how and why you merged the two?
Kendall here. Vinix was based off of Ubuntu, which has a different way of packaging software than Sonar, which was based off of a distribution called Manjaro, which itself is based off of a distribution called Arch. So not to confuse people, they had two separate ways of packaging software, same software, but the way you built it and the way you packaged it was different. And accessibility developers, there are not very many of us out there. There's like, say, 12 that work on everything, the whole stack, Orca, magnifiers, all that. So the reason we merged was we're trying to minimize duplication of effort, meaning we're going to work with, say, Ubuntu or Fedora or whatever to get accessibility improved to the point where you won't need a special so-called blind distro. You could use any one.
So now I notice there are still two separate mailing lists for Vinix and Sonar, and I'm wondering at what stage it's all going to be called one, or there'll be one place for people to point to for an accessible version of Linux until, you know, the world's problems are solved with Linux.
Kyle here, I can take this one. We have separate lists for Sonar and for Vinix right now as the transition is taking place. The end game, or not the end game so much as the end of the transition, we will be all transitioning over to the Vinix platform and their infrastructure and their mailing lists. And all of us who are members of the Sonar project, most of us have already transitioned over to using the Vinix mailing list.
So the timescale is that this will all be happening fairly soon and people can just look for this one accessible distribution.
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, neat. So both of these accessible versions of Linux come with a screen reader and a magnifier. The screen reader is called Orca, but I thought you could maybe tell us about the screen reader and the magnifier that are built in.
Luke here. Orca, as you said, is the screen reader. It is part of the GNOME project, GNOME is a desktop environment for GNU Linux mostly these days. It can be run on other systems, but that's another story. It facilitates the stuff to allow you to move through GNOME-based applications and in some cases other applications as well. Excuse me. The magnifier is actually built into the GNOME desktop main shell, as pretty much all magnifiers these days are. They have to be built into the core of the operating system to take advantage of graphical processing hardware to effectively do the magnifications. The magnifier does support focus tracking, so you can, say, start typing in a text field and the magnifier should jump you to that region on screen where you're typing in. It is essentially part of the core shell, just like Mac OS's magnifier, just like Android's, just like iOS's, just like Windows.
So these screen readers and magnifiers that are built into Linux and will be built into Linux later on are pretty much as functional as some of the commercial screen readers and other screen readers that people are familiar with on other platforms.
Kendall here. Of course there's going to be differences. It's not like you would expect Orca to do something exactly the same way JAWS or NVDA does. Sometimes the commercial screen readers have more functionality than Orca does. Sometimes it's the reverse. It just depends. But yeah, for the most part, they do the same thing. They let you navigate around the screen. They'll read what's going on. You can jump to different parts of the screen. If you run into an application that's not accessible, you can sort of review the screen line by line and click on things. They're all similar.
Kyle here. I'm not going to say that there is that one is more functional than the other. What I am going to say is that they are probably equally functional, but they're fundamentally different in how they access and read the applications and interact with the user. But the functionality is all there.
Kendall here, I'll add one more thing that I think is very important for users to understand. The way you navigate around the screen is the same. You know, you hit arrow keys, you tab, you type things in. The one thing that's different is the screen readers will say things a little differently. I'll give you a couple of examples. Orca says, when you run into an edit field where you can type in text, Orca says text. It does not say edit. Buttons are called toggle buttons, whether they can be toggled on or off, or they're just buttons, whether they can be pushed. I believe most ones on Windows or OS X just say button. So there's like slight wording differences, and sometimes it can throw people off. But for the most part, they're the same, yes.
You know, as you all mentioned, things certainly are different from one operating system to another. But it's great that you have these mailing lists where people can talk about these issues and learn the differences and make a transition. There's lots of help available for making that change.
We've been talking about all of these great features of Linux / Sonar. What do you have in mind to add in the future? What are the next challenges and features that you're planning to add to this? Maybe Rob?
There's been a lot of discussion surrounding how we move forward and lots of great ideas and very passionate ideas. Some providing Linux media on USBs, unique shaped USBs. My favorite is a triangle. Other plans that we have for the future are providing Linux hardware. So we have machines or refurbished machines or new machines that people want Linux installed upon or assistance with that. But ultimately, ARM devices, which are very small, in some cases single board computers that we can ship with Linux and all supported. So there's a team that are working toward that. And we are moving from Ubuntu to a Fedora base to have a richer experience with the desktop.
Perfect.
Luke here. I also want to add one thing that I think we've talked about in the past too, to allow people to get their feet wet without having to sacrifice their system or, you know, potentially screw anything up. We will likely at some point offer a virtual machine download, so you'll be able to use it with VMware Player, VirtualBox, maybe even Windows Hyper-V, if people have got the appropriate version of Windows, such that you can try out Linux, see what you think, get help on learning the basics, And then over time, if you play with it enough, you can then make a decision as to whether it may be the right thing to consider using, at least part-time, at which point we can then help you set up a jailboot environment on your system.
Rob, another thing that we are excited to be providing in the future are audio walkthroughs, where we, like with two or three people, are recording how you do something, how you install Vinix, how you use a console screen reader, how you, you know, get your Firefox settings from your other operating system. So being able to offer audio walkthroughs for our users, we feel is a really important way to give people some confidence to try something new.
Now for this week's final item, how you can get more information about Vinix, how you can get it to download and try it out, and how you can contribute to its success.
So if people want to find out more about these accessible versions of Linux or try it out or install it on their system, where would you send them?
Kyle here. The main Vinix website is Vinix Project, V-I-N-U-X project.org. You could also follow us on Twitter at Vinix News. And we also have a Facebook group for Vinix users and our developers as well.
And I take it people can find some documentation there and useful documents on getting started to help them out?
Yes, there is a wiki under development. Actually, it's been there for some time, but it will get updated as new things come along and as the merger transitions further.
And if people have questions for any of you, is there a contact us form or specific email address where people could submit questions?
Rob, on our website, we've got a contact us link, which links directly to my email. So we get a lot of questions through that. How do I put Vinix onto a computer? Or my friend has Vinix. What can I do? Is this program available? Do you support this language? So we'll field a lot of those questions. Sometimes I refer people to our mailing list and give them the easy instructions how to subscribe. And in other cases, I'll think, okay, well, that's a development question or that's a testing question, and I'll do a warm handover with that person and say, look, I'm going to forward your email on to this person, and feel free to copy me in. And then whether it be Luke or our testing team leader, Bill, they'll get back to that person. So we really try to have a comprehensive and inclusive line of communication open for people, but we don't hinge it on just one or two people. We will refer them to the mailing list, and which has thousands of users on it. I can't think of the exact number, maybe 4,000 or 5,000, where they can reach a wider community and get some good responses that way.
And how would somebody get onto the mailing list?
We have several mailing lists. We've got testing and documentation for users that are testing a new development release or interested in contributing and writing documentation. We have a development mailing list, which are for programmers or distribution members that want to discuss or contribute toward Vinix development. And our main list is our Vinix support list. It's very easy to subscribe. Just send an email to vinix-support, vinux-support, plus subscribe at googlegroups.com. And then you'll receive an email which you reply to, and that completes the process of subscribing to our list. After that, you can just send an email to vinix-support at googlegroups.com with your clear question.
And I guess if people do want to contribute, there are many ways in which people can contribute. You don't necessarily have to be a programmer.
Luke here. The ways that people can help out are certainly many and varied. Of course, documentation. We always need of help with writing out documentation because that's the number one thing users need. There's also translators. We'd like to offer support in as many languages as possible. So anyone who can help with doing translation. Just end-user support, people who can help out on the mailing list, answer questions, is always also very, very useful. as Rob said, we've got a lot of people on the Vinix support mailing list. Sometimes when there's a lot of questions asked, so people helping out there is always very welcome.
For people who want personal help one-on-one with Vinix, do you have provisions for that?
Kyle here. I offer Linux technical support and hardware installations. And I do this for anybody who needs it, whether they're able to see the screen or they need a screen reader or whatever. And one thing that I provide in my installations is if you buy a machine from me with a Linux version already installed on it, or if I install it on the machine you already have, I offer 31 days so of free and unlimited technical support by phone or by email. In the United States, I can offer a support number at 855-205-0001, and you can discuss with me purchasing hardware or technical support package that I offer on a monthly basis if you need that. But the idea of the unlimited technical support is to get you used to the operating system, get you you're familiar with it, make you comfortable using it. I want to do everything in my power to make people comfortable with using what I'm offering and what I'm providing for them.
What's your email address for people who prefer to interact that way?
Kyle@free2.ml, that's F-R-E-E-2.ml, is my email that I'm currently using for support purposes as well.
Oh, that's great. You know, new users are often eager to get a little bit of advice, or at least to know that advice is available.
And as usual, there is lots of contact information there and other resources in which you might be interested. And of course, you can find that in the show notes associated with this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net. So you can go there if you want to try out Vinix or learn more or even contribute to the project. In those show notes, you'll also find links to previous episodes of Eyes on Success where we talked about both Vinix and Sonar GNU if you want to learn a little bit more details about some of these versions of Linux and how they're used and what functionality they might have for the visually impaired.
That's it for show number 1719. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about this year's NVDA conference. NVDA is a free screen reader for Windows. For the past several years, the annual NVDA Con has provided a forum for developers, users, and others to share what's new, suggestions for future improvements, and much more. We'll speak with Derek Reamer and Bhavya Shah, the co-chairs of this year's annual International Web-Based Conference. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.